going to read together from the Word of God and the message that I felt God wanted me to bring to you, we find is in Joshua chapter 3. And it's again a time of change and transition. And this is what it says. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carry the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage or during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jordan. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. May God bless his word to us. That's the promise that we have, that the Good Shepherd will lead us, that Jesus is there with us. This morning I want to share with you some thoughts around the talk that I've called, Which Way? As part of my role as a regional leader, I do an awful lot of driving, and some of that driving involves driving in London, which is not one of my favourite pastimes, I have to say. But I'm grateful for the fact that there are now such things as Google Maps, satellite navigation, so that I can put in my destination and it will tell me where to go. When Maureen, my wife, is with me, she's the super nav, we call her, and she tells me where to go. Quite often she tells me where to go, but it's knowing that hopefully it is directing me in the right way. However, that does not always work out to be the case. On one occasion, we were away together and we were going to pick up a boat that we were going to go cruising down a river on. And so we put in the destination, the postcode, of where the boatyard was, and we followed the route that was given to us. It took us to the destination. The only problem was that we were on the wrong side of the river, and therefore we could see where we were supposed to be, but we could not get there. And so it then took a substantial amount of time for us to go and work out way all the way round to get to where we were meant to be. Here in this chapter that we've just read, the children of God have arrived at a time of change, a time of transition, a time when a new leader was beginning to take up responsibility, a time when they had completed part of the journey, but there was a journey yet to take place. And for you as a church here, you are in some respects in a similar position. One chapter has closed. You have journeyed up to this point in time, but there is a journey yet to be taken. There is a new chapter yet to open. And when we're in those sort of times, it can be very easy for us to begin to become fearful, to feel uncertain about what the future may hold, to begin to question what God is or is not doing. But I want us to glean from this chapter some key points which I trust will help us all in those times of transition and change, because they will come, and they do come. I was only thinking yesterday of the fact that 44 years ago, when I went and was appointed as the church leader at Ashendon Elam, how different things were then. Different in the terms of the church itself, different in the way and the style that the church operated. And we can sometimes feel, well, I wish we could go back to how it was. I have to say to you that God is a God that always takes us on. He's not a God who takes us back. And although we are grateful for all that has been, yet we are thankful that there is more to come. Although we're grateful for all that God has accomplished in the past, we are thankful that the end is not yet. That there is more for us to discover, more for us to experience, more for us to find as God begins to reveal his purpose and his plan to us for that next chapter and season. And so here we have Joshua being in a position where he is both hearing from God and is sharing with God's people. And there are some of the things that we need to discover here that are absolutely key as we, the people of God, move on into the new chapters that God has for us. And the first thing that we discover is this: that we need to follow where God leads. We need to follow where the presence of God takes us. See, here in this chapter, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the living presence of God being amongst the people. We don't have such symbols now because we have the Spirit of God that is present amongst us. But the fact remains that we still need to be in that place where we are both sensitive to and responsive to the presence of God. There is that sense in which there is a general promise where Jesus says that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that is absolutely right, and it is something that we can really rest upon. But at the same time, we need to also recognize that there is a purpose and a plan that God has for us corporately, but individually as well. Many, many years ago, a missionary came to the Elam church where I was a young person, and this missionary was about to embark back to the mission field, which for her was Hong Kong. And at that time, there was an uprising in Hong Kong. There was a lot of violence. There was a lot of danger. And I can remember someone asking her the question, how do you feel about going back into a place of danger, into a place of risk, into a place where there is this violence that's taking place? And the answer that she gave has remained with me all these years later. She said, I'd rather be in a place of danger in the will of God than in a place of safety outside of the will of God. And here is Joshua saying to the people, look, We need to go where the presence leads us. We need to go where God is going. And I need to say to you, church, you need to go where God is leading you. Now, that may well involve change. It may well involve some of the things that you've been used to being different. The fact remains that at any point in the future, when a new leader is appointed here, the new leader will not be the same as the previous leader. And what will go ahead will not be the same as what was in the past. But the fact remains that we have to be those who are aware of where God is leading and responding to that. See, on one occasion, God comes to Moses because God has got really quite annoyed with his people. And he says to Moses, "Moses, look, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you know that there will be angels that will go with you. I'll let you know that there will be supernatural evidence that will go with you when you take your journey with the people of God, but I'm not going with you." And what Moses said to God was this: "God, do not take us up from here unless your presence goes with us." I'm going to say the difference between having a church service and being in a place where we encounter the presence of God is enormous. In a church service, you're just going through religious rules and rituals. When you're in a place of encounter where the presence of God is, there is transformation. The evidence of his power is there. So Joshua says, point number one, people of God, as you take this new journey, as you step into this new chapter, follow where God leads. My prayer is that the church leadership here in particular will have a sense of where is God leading? What is God saying? But then Joshua went on to say this. He said, look, the second thing you need to be aware of, because God's told me this, is your focus needs to be on God, not on the challenges that will come. See, it's very easy for us to focus on the difficulties. It's very easy for us to focus on the things that seem so hard. For some of you, there are things that are taking place in your life, and as you focus on them, you wonder whether you can ever get through them. But God wants you to know that if you focus on him, he is far greater than the problem you are facing, the difficulty that is before you, that mountain that seems insurmountable. You need to realize that when you focus on God, you begin to see that he is the God who is far greater than the issue that you face. We see the evidence of that in another well-known story when a young lad called David comes on the scene and discovers that the people of God are filled with trepidation and fear. Why was that? Because there was a giant in the land. His name was Goliath. They looked at this giant, and this giant was an enormous problem. This giant was someone not to be messed with. This giant was someone to be avoided. This giant was someone who was undefeatable. But you see, when David came on the scene, his focus was different. He didn't focus on the giant, he focused on the God who was Lord over the giant. Can I say to you, when you focus on the problem will become more giant-like in your life. When you focus on God, the problem begins to diminish in your life. And so it was that David, as he focused on God, he said, "I can go and fight that giant. I can take that giant on. I can defeat him." Now, he knew he would not defeat him in his own strength or with his own ability, except he could defeat him in that strength and that ability because the power of God was with him. And so he focused on the God who could enable him to overcome the giant. And so when he went to face the giant, he says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." I say to you, church, in this time when you're entering into this new chapter in the new season, do not take your eyes off of God who is sovereign in this time and in this moment. Do not let your eyes be fixed on the difficulties, the challenges, and the issues. Doesn't mean ignore them. Doesn't mean don't pretend that they are there. But what it means is that when you look at them, see the God who is sovereign over them. See the God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ask or think. See the God who says, I will supply all your needs according to our riches in Christ Jesus. See the God who knows and understands where you are, what you're going through, but is there with you in it. See, I, from time to time, take the opportunity to go out bird watching. Quite enjoy ornithology. And I had a pair of binoculars, and I began to realize that when I was looking through them, I couldn't focus them. Everything was blurry. I ended up having to send them off for them to be repaired, because clearly at some point I'd obviously dropped them and it had knocked them out of focus. And whatever I did, the picture just was not clear at all. It was all very blurry. When we focus on God, the picture becomes so much clearer. When we focus on God, the way becomes much more obvious. When we focus on God, we begin to be sensitive to what he is saying to us and what he wants to reveal into our lives. Focusing on God is so important. But having focused on God, then what Joshua goes on to say is this. He says, look, as you focus on God, you will see his power, you will see his provision. But there is something that is required of you in order that that provision might come, in order that that power might be experienced. And what Joshua says, he says, look, I want you to pick 12 people. And 12 of these leaders, they are going to pick up and carry the presence of God. My prayer is, as a leader and for all leadership, is that we carry the presence of God. That we recognize that the presence of God rests upon us. Jesus himself knew and experienced the reality of the presence of God. He was driven by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, into the wilderness where he faced those great temptations. But then when he came out of the wilderness, having conquered, he said he came in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he says, pick 12 people, 12 leaders who carry the presence of God. And what those leaders are to do, as they carry the presence of God, they are to go up to the barrier that is preventing the way being made clear. And they are to take a step of faith. They are to step into the river. The Bible tells us that the river was in flood. I don't know whether you've seen some of the recent news articles where there have been some serious floods across some parts of Europe. And when you look at the flood water and you look at the speed and you look at the currents and you look at the potential danger, I think if I was one of those 12 leaders that was chosen, I probably would have first said, why me? And then secondly, I would have thought, okay, well, there's 12 of us. I'll try and make sure I'm in the back row. Because the front row, they're going to have to do the hard part. They're the ones that are going to have to step into the waters first. You know, the fact remains that if we are going to see the release of the provision of God, steps of faith have to be taken. And sometimes that is dangerous. Dangerous not in the sense that it's risk to our lives, but dangerous in that it can be a risk to our reputation. Dangerous in it can be a risk to what people might say. See, being a Pentecostal minister, I obviously do believe and expect to see the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit operating through the gifts. I believe that they are relevant for today. And yet, each of those gifts, whether it be tongues, prophecy, interpretation, discernment of spirits, gifts of healing, all of those gifts carry a risk in the sense that there has to be a step of faith for the gift to be released. That's to be a willingness for the person that God is choosing to use as a channel to be prepared to take the step that enables that gift to begin to operate through them. That's why the Apostle Paul says that all the gifts are rooted and grounded upon faith. The greater the faith, the greater the operation of the gift. And so for some of you, you need to understand that there is, in one sense, a point where you're saying, what's the way through this? And God's saying, there is a way through. And I've told you and indicated to you the step that you are to take. See, the way through the Jordan did not appear clear until the step of faith was taken. When the step of faith was taken, that facilitated the release of God's power and God's provision and God's miraculous. When the step of faith was taken, it was at that moment God then stepped in and the waters were stopped and the ground became dry and the path was made clear. Again, we see the responsibility of those leaders because they weren't given an easy job, right? Once you've taken the step and the river is stopped and the pathway is clear, then you've done your job. Now what Joshua says to them, look, as leaders, you are responsible for standing in the middle of the river and allowing the people of God to get across till you yourself can then go across. And can I say to some of you leaders that you are going to have to stand and allow God to use you and to enable you to be able to see the provision of God in order that you might see the way forward and in order that the people of God might journey into that next chapter that God is opening up, facilitating God's power. That's why we see when Jesus ministered in the New Testament, so often he would say to individuals, I want you to take a step of faith. So to a man who had a withered hand, stretch out your hand. To a man who had been paralyzed and was by the pool of Bethsaida, rise up. To the man who was let down through the roof of a house and who was told that his sins were forgiven, but then Jesus said, to show you that I have the authority and the power to forgive sins, he then says to that man, take up your bed and walk. Steps of faith that brought about the release of God's power and God's provision. And in this new chapter, in this new season, there will be some of you that will need to take steps of faith. There will be some of you that God will open up opportunities for you to serve him in ways that you did not expect, were not thinking would happen. But this is the moment and this is the time for the step of faith to be taken. And just in case any of you say, well, don't forget how old I am, because I remember saying that when I was reaching, when I first originally thought that I would finish. Because when I was called at the age of 18, and then it was when I was 32 or 31 that I took up the responsibility at Ashendon. And I was bivocational, so I had not only the church to lead and run, but I also had a full-time job as well. And what I said to God was, I said, look, God, if I'm able to retire at around about 55, then that will give me 5, perhaps 10 years in which I can serve you fully, and then I'll call it a day. So God enabled me to retire at 50 from my secular job. And I thought, okay, well, 10 years, so I can finish at 60. Got to 60, and God said, not yet. Okay, God. Right, well, in Elam at that time, the retirement age for Elam ministers was 65. So I thought, okay, well, we'll work towards 65. So we worked towards 65, by which time Elam had changed the age range, and now retirement was 67. So at 65, because I wasn't dependent on receiving a pension from Elam, I thought, okay, I've reached 65. Okay, God, I can go now, can I? No. Okay, another couple of years, so another couple of years. Right, I've reached 67. Yes, but if you find that the church wants you to stay, and if you feel you have the capabilities and the calling to stay, then you can apply to stay for another 2 years. Oh, okay. So I said, church, do you want me to finish yet? No, we don't want you to finish yet. Okay, I'll do another 2 years, 69. Got to 69. No, you can now apply for another 2 years. Then another 2 years. Well, you can't go beyond 75. Hence, at 75, God said, okay, I'm now releasing you from leading Ashendon, but I'm not releasing you from leading the region, because that isn't dependent upon age. I said, God, how old is it that I get to before I can rest and relax? He says, well, Moses started when he was 80. Caleb, he was still going strong when he was 80. So we'll wait and see, shall we? So I want to say to some of you, if age is the barrier that you are seeing preventing you from accomplishing and doing what God wants you to do, let me tell you right now, God does not take into account age. God puts a calling upon all ages, all people, and we are called to respond as he leads and directs. But we need to take steps of faith. The next thing that we discover, Joshua says, he says, look, you've never been this way before. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the sort of character that is very comfortable with being in what I'm used to. Very comfortable with being that place where I have an expectation that this is what will happen. This is the way it works. That's why, in some respects, it's been quite interesting and also a challenge for me to come to lead here this morning. I've spoken here before when Dave Saunders was here, but not sort of taken the full service. I've obviously spoken at the ladies group, but coming to a church that I've not led before, I've not spoken at other than within the context of a message where the minister's been present, it's a case of I wonder what to expect. Now, Brian was very good. I said to him, well, what are your expectations? It's always good to ask what the expectations are. And so he told me what to expect. I didn't say to him that I would keep to the expectations. So I will endeavour to do so. But that unexpected element, it's a little bit scary when we're not sure. And here is Joshua saying, look, you need to know that where you're now going is different to where you've been. I'm going to say to you, church, where you're now going is different to where you've been. And that's not saying that where the children of Israel have been had not contained the miracles of God. They had seen God's power in evidence. They had lived under the leadership and guidance of this great man of God, Moses. They had seen God evident in so many different ways. But now it was a new time. It was a new chapter. There was a new leader in place. They were crossing a river, going into territory they had never entered into before. And yet God has said to them, where I'm leading you, I'm giving you a land that is a land of blessing. I'm giving you a land that is a land that's full of milk and honey. I'm going to say to you, church, God is taking you into something fresh. Into something new, into something that in some respects is unnerving because you're not quite sure what it will look like and you're not quite sure where it will lead you. But I want to tell you that God has gone before you and God has prepared the land for you to take. God has prepared the opportunities for you to seize. God has prepared those things that you are yet to enter into. Just imagine how those disciples felt when Jesus said to them, I want you to know I'm leaving you. 3 years he'd been with them. They'd seen the evidence of his power. They'd listened to amazing words of teaching. I would love to have had the opportunity just to spend a day with Jesus, watching him, listening to him. But 3 years they've been with him. And then we read in John 15, 16, he says to them, "I want you to know I'm going." And for them to hear those words, "Going? What do you mean you're going? What do you mean you're leaving us?" He says, "I'm going, but it's best that I go, because until I go, you cannot receive what is to come, which is the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That when I go, you will enter into a new chapter and into a new season, into territory you've not been in before. But I want you to know that as you do that, you are the instruments and you are the channels that I'm going to use in order that the good news, the news that brings transformation, the news that brings cleansing and healing, the news that sets people free, the news that releases people from the power and the penalty of sin, that news you're going to carry into your communities and into the country around, and you are going to see the power of God displayed and the kingdom of God coming." So, people of God, I want to say to you, as you move forward into the future and into the unknown, it's unknown to you, but it's not unknown to God. It's unknown to you, but he knows exactly where he is taking you. And yes, there will be challenges. After they crossed the Jordan River, the first thing that they suddenly faced was the challenge of Jericho. And yet, as they faced that challenge, they discovered that the God who promised to be with them was with them in that situation. He gave them the keys and the means by which he could intervene and they could see his glory and his majesty as the walls fell down. I want you to know that the challenges that you face, God is sovereign over them and he will bring them tumbling down. Because the last thing I want to say to you is this, that what Joshua says and what God has promised in this chapter, he says, "Look, I have got some wonders to do amongst you. I've got some new opportunities for you to have." See, isn't it amazing that with all that had happened under the time of Moses, yet this is what the Lord says to Joshua, "Today I begin to exhort you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." And then Joshua goes on to say, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will drive out before you all the various ites that are mentioned there." And there's a lovely verse which Joshua says in verse 5, "Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you." I want to say to you, Rochdale Congregational Church, there are amazing things to come. That God is sovereign in this moment. And that if you are willing to, as Moses passed on the baton to Joshua, and Joshua then began to take responsibility for where God was leading next. If you're willing to follow where the presence of God leads, corporately and individually, if you're willing to focus on the God who is greater than the challenges you will face, if you're willing to facilitate the release of God's power and provision amongst you, if you're willing to take the steps forward into uncharted and unknown territory, then you will find the wonder of a God who will do new and amazing things amongst you, that the world might know Jesus is King. God bless you. Lord, we recognize that you gave your life for us. And you call us to give our lives to you. I pray your blessing will rest upon each and every individual here, that they will just sense your presence with them, and that, Lord, you will let your hand rest upon them in power. I pray for the church fellowship here and the church family, that, Lord, with all the great days that have been, may there be greater days yet to come. With all that you have been faithful in the past with, thank you for your faithfulness for the future. Pray for the church leadership. They will receive wisdom, guidance and direction as they see you providing the way forward and as they see you leading them into the next season and chapter that you have for the fellowship here. So thank you again for your presence with us. Thank you for the wonder of your love. Thank you for your grace that is without measure. Thank you so much for your mercy that brought us to you. And I ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all.